Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Midway Limited FY18 results briefing conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Tony Price, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for joining our financial year 2018 full-year results briefing. I suspect many of, if not all of you, have already seen the result announcement lodged at the ASX this morning, including the investor presentation. What we'd like to do is hit on the highlights of the presentation and then, as indicated, hand over for questions. Moving on to the key result areas. In the last 12 months, Midway generated sales revenue of around 232 million, which is up 11% on the previous year. EBITDA before significant items was 28.7 million, up a modest 3%. However, as a result of the higher export prices that we're able to achieve this year, we've also recorded a 2.6 million dollar uplift in the value of our forestry assets. This, combined with the previous EBITDA, gives us a total EBITDA after significant items of 31.4 million, up 26% on the previous year. As a result of that, we've recorded a net profit after tax of 18.4 million, which is up 23% on the previous year. On that basis, the board yesterday decided to declare a fully franked final dividend of 0.09 per share. We believe that this result represents a solid year of performance, and also on top of that, we've actually implemented some of our growth strategy, which we'll see contributing as we move forward. The higher export prices that were achieved this year and dry fiber content offset our expected volume reductions in some sites and a stronger-than-anticipated dollar. The volumes in Geelong were down in accordance with our budgeted wood supply, and while in South West Fibre, there was a timing issue in terms of shipping that led to a slight reduction there as well. However, we have increased our overall volume as a result of the new investments in PMP in the Tiwi Islands and in Tasmania. We're working very, very hard to develop a resource going forward. We're acquiring volumes of wood every year. We're planting in our own right 1,500 hectares this year, and we're working with a number of parties with a strategy to expand the total resource, particularly in the Geelong catchment. As well as that, we're also talking with parties, which I can't give you any detail, but we're talking with parties about other commodities which can be put through that facility, including grain, for example. The sales volume up in Queensland did rebound this year. However, we've had a range of challenges with ongoing wet weather and harvest capacity, along with stock management issues that we've now moved to address, and we believe that we've got that business back on an even keel and expecting it to perform as expected in the coming year. In terms of our resource, we have included a table in the investor presentation around resource. We've had some questions about that, and as you'll see, that anticipates or proposes a volume growth over the next few years. We are very, very comfortable with the available resource, particularly in Victoria, and as I said before, we're continuing to procure standing volume that exists out there, along with developing plans for establishing future resource. We also made a couple of important strategic investments in the financial year. Plantation Management Partners, which is the plantation management business that runs the Tiwi Islands and a couple of operations in Southeast Asia, and ADCO, which is a logistics business, and we believe they will drive significant future earnings growth as we go forward. Just in specifically talking about Plantation Management Partners, we acquired that business in October 2017. In the 8 months that it's been part of our business, it's recorded sales revenue of around $7.9 million and a net profit after tax of $1.4 million for that eight-month period. This is in line with our expectations for the first year of operations. That business is currently exploring a range of additional growth opportunities for the business. Those opportunities exist in Asia, New Zealand, and also Australia. ADCO Limited, as many of you would appreciate, it was a start-up logistics business. Midway has acquired an initial 25% of that business. We did that in January this year. ADCO is based out of Mount Maunganui in New Zealand, but it's been set up to provide haulage processing and material handling services both in New Zealand and Australia. ADCO is expected to make its first acquisition in early September this year, and that will provide a significant platform for the business to grow going forward. In terms of our developments in Tasmania, we have joined two other companies to set up a joint venture marketing business called Plantation Exports Group, which is focused on plantation exports from Tasmania. The other partners in that joint venture are well-established forestry businesses, RMS, which is a US-based plantation manager, and Pentark, which is a well-known private business in Australia. We Midway have also secured throughput arrangements with a large export processing and exporting facility in northeastern Tasmania. In terms of further strategic investments, we are actively looking at a range of opportunities to further grow the business over the next year or so. We're focused on some key areas. Obviously, one key area is to continue to grow our timber wood supply to meet our export requirements. We're looking to, as part of our strategy, to broaden our geographic footprint and our revenue base. We're also looking to secure new talent into the business through the PMP acquisition and also the ADCO acquisition. We've picked up some very high quality managers to add to the existing high quality team. So we're looking at continuing to grow our capacity as we go forward. And finally, a lot of the opportunities we're exploring now will look to increase our revenue or Australian dollar revenue, which will provide a bit of a buffer against movements in FX. So moving on to our balance sheet and cash flow, our net debt has increased over the last 12 months or so, largely as a result of some strategic acquisitions that we've made. However, most of these acquisitions have been earnings accretive, and with the exception of ADCO in this year, but we're expecting ADCO to begin contributing in financial year 2019. We remain well within our financial covenants, and with an interest cover of 16.8 times, and our return on capital employed also remains strong at 17.8%. Some of you will have noticed a reduction in cash flow in the second half of the last financial year. That's purely a timing issue. We met our shipping commitments through until the end of June, but payment for those shipments didn't come until early July. You will also note that we've provided some information regarding some changes to accounting rules to AASB 15. I'm not qualified to comment on those, but any questions on that area can go to Ashley shortly. What it's about is looking at the fair value of the hardwood trees that we have secured through a purchase back agreement. This is a non-cash item, will not impact our EBITDA. In terms of the outlook for this year and beyond, I'd have to say the market, we've continued to share the fact that the market is extremely strong. Going back to the IPO, RISI, which is an independent consultant that commentates on our sector, they were talking about a significant reduction in supply in the Asia-Pacific region around about 2023. They've now brought that projection forward, so they're suggesting there's going to be a 4 million tonne shortfall in 2020. That's a shortfall between demand and supply. We've just come back from Japan. We were in Japan last week. We've got inquiries and we will enter into some arrangements with some new Japanese customers, particularly for Geelong. And we're now finding major Chinese customers are asking for 3 to 5 year contracts, which 3 or 4 years ago we would have thought would be unheard of. And for us, that all that does is reflect the fact that these guys are becoming very concerned about securing their volume going forward. As part of our growth strategy, we'll continue to look for new opportunities, and they come up fairly regularly. They'll either be growing our business organically or acquiring businesses if they fit within our broader strategy. However, all of these acquisitions, the ones that we're looking at right now and into the future, we're looking at acquiring those, preferably to be EBITDA accretive from day one, but really it's all about maximising long-term shareholder value. So with that, I'll open things up for questions, and Ashley and I will be more than happy to answer any questions that people have.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press *2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Danny Eunice with Shawn Partners.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Good day, Danny. How are you?
Good. A couple of questions, if I can, please. Firstly, on Geelong. So despite strong second half margins, your volumes were down about 9%. Now, I understand there's an FX impact there, but outside of that, is there any, what's the underlying strategy for Geelong going forward into FY19?
We would expect the FY19 volume to be the same. Just on that, we budgeted for a drop in volume from the previous financial year. With wood flows, wood flows bounce around on an annual basis, and we're really focused on trying to stabilise those. So going forward in the next few years, we're expecting the volume to stay at about, I think it's 1.2 million from memory, or thereabouts.
Okay, and then on ADCO, I know it's still embryonic at the moment. How much has been invested in that business to date, and what's the strategy post the acquisition that comes on board in September? I'm presuming the contribution in FY19, particularly more second half skew, won't be material, but there's likely to be a positive contribution there.
Danny, it's Ashley here. That's correct. So the initial investment in ADCO in January was around $400,000. As Tony alluded to, ADCO's in the process of making its first acquisition, which will settle either late August, early September, and Midway's maintained its 25% holding by and will be putting in another $1.8 million as part of that. The acquisition by ADCO will be funded predominantly by debt, but 60% debt and 40% equity from existing shareholders.
Okay, and just one last short one, just on CapEx for FY19. Are you still expecting, you know, your maintenance CapEx to be around the 1 to 2 million mark? That excludes new plannings? So.
Yeah, that's correct, Danny. Obviously, we're, you know, as Tony alluded to as well, we're investing in some land and trees in our own catchment, but normal operating CapEx will be in the range that you talked about.
Great. Thanks, guys.
No worries.
Your next question comes from John O'Shea with Ord Minnett.
G'day, John.
Good morning, John.
Pardon me. Your next question comes from Damian Williamson with Bell Potter.
Yeah.
G'day, John. How are you going?
Not too bad. Could I please just get some clarification on that waterfall EBITDA chart on slide 8? Just in terms of, obviously one of the big hits there was the FX, and can you just explain with, you know, how the FX was impacted to the tune of negative 6.4 million this year and the new hedging strategy you've implemented this year to turn that around?
Yeah, well, look, the FX impact was, you know, we averaged around 77 cents across the year for the group. It's about 3 cents higher than what it was in FY17, and that had that, you know, that $6 million NPAT impact. For FY19, we've basically taken some early cover for around about 40% of our expected US dollar sales for FY19, and that's at favourable rates to that FY18 average that was achieved.
Okay, and just as another question, just on the your shipping costs, they've gone up a lot over the past year, although volumes have been pretty stable. Is there any comment on that increase and your success of passing those costs through?
Well, I suppose what you see in the stat accounts there, as far as shipping is concerned, we do out of Geelong and Brisbane, we do predominantly CIF sales, so we're looking after the shipping, and the accounting treatment of that is that we need to gross up the cost of that shipping insurance into gross sales and into COGS. So the more shipping you do, it will reduce your margin, but it needs to be grossed up. As well as that, over the past, you know, 12 months, shipping freight costs have moved up, but that's a part of the marketing exercise in negotiating CIF rates.
Yeah. And Damien, as I said, we've been very successful in securing some cheap shipping over the last 2 years. We've still got some of that, you know, that we're utilising, but the spot market has gone up, and bunker fuel for shipping has gone up, and we've done a reasonable job, we think, of passing that additional cost back to the customer. Although needless to say, there was a bit of pushback, but we see actually a lot more shipping coming into the market in this next calendar year, so we may actually see the prices of shipping come off again, but that remains to be seen.
Okay, that thanks for that. That's all for me. So,
no worries, thanks, mate.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question is from John O'Shea with Ord Minnett.
Oh, morning, guys. Sorry about before, it just dropped out. Look, just a couple of things from me. Just wanted to get a bit of feel for the bridge in terms of FY19 earnings in terms of EBITDA. Obviously, last year there was some strong price increases of which, you know, some of that was eaten away by the unfavourable FX. What's your expectations this year in relation to price and, broadly speaking, sort of how you, I mean, it's difficult to say depending on where the FX goes, how you sort of expect the FX sort of bridge to play out this year in comparison to last year?
I'm not sure. On the pricing side of things, at best I can tell you that in our view there's only one direction it will go, and that's up. But the quantum, I wouldn't like to speculate. That's a discussion that's yet to be had with our customers, and I wouldn't want to flag too much at this stage. But
no, that's okay.
There was a RISI forecast, I think, of pricing, so maybe that's not a bad place to start.
Yep. And FX?
You tell us.
Yeah. Obviously, as I said, we've got favourable cover in for about against FY18. So at this stage, we've got about 40% covered. So, mm-hmm. You know, assuming that sort of average rate that we've been able to achieve is maintained, it's obviously going to be a green bar, not a red bar.
Yep. Thanks very much, guys, and good result.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Price for closing remarks. Pardon me, we do have a question from Belinda Moore with Morgans Financial Limited.
Hi, Tony and Ash. Congratulations on today's result. Could I just ask, what was the bone dry percentage in the 18 result, and sort of how are you seeing that in 19? Secondly, if you can make some comment on the dividend policy going forward, and just in terms of the replant of, I think, 15,000 hectares, sort of what costs we expect there, please?
So that's 1,500 hectares, Belinda. So, you know, on average, you'd spend around about $15,000 to $2,000 a hectare for establishment.
Okay, thank you.
I'll leave Tony to make any comment about the dividend policy.
At this point, there's no change to the dividend policy, Belinda. We'd expect it to stay as it is.
Great, thank you.
Bone dry, Belinda, across the year for FY18, there's about a 1% favourable variance compared to the FY17 year. Again, that is seasonal. So, you know, for FY19, we've gone, you know, for our forecast, we've trended back to what the longer term average is.
But is it fair to say with the dry conditions, it's currently looking better than that?
Yeah. Well, you would expect, albeit we're only 2 months into the year, but yes, definitely down here in Victoria, it's most probably going to be drier than what our longer term average is.
It's not as dry as it is up your end of the world, though.
And maybe one more, please, if I can. Just a bit more colour on sort of acquisition opportunities and maybe sort of the rough sizes or multiples you're thinking of sort of paying, please?
Yeah, I think the size of the acquisitions are still going to be modest, I would think, $10 million type sort of range. It depends on what the business is. There's a couple of service type business, if you like, and I think we tend to look at those with, you know, maybe a 3x multiple, but if there's assets associated with them, maybe 4. But we've got, you know, 3 or 4 that we're working on at the moment, and they may or may not come to fruition, but they're all in smaller bits. I don't see anything in the next 12 months, unless something comes out of the woodwork, that's going to be much bigger than that.
Okay, thanks very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Price for closing remarks.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time this morning, and we look forward to getting stuck into it and delivering a good result for the coming year.